Welcome to another Carl and Lloyd Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, recently we've spoken about esports.
We have spoken about esports, which you know nothing about.
Absolutely.
And that's why we haven't done a real story on it, because, like, if it's football or something else, you're okay, but esports is a bit of a challenge for you, being a bit older.
It is, but I tell you...
But speaking of old, well, we've got an older gentleman with us today, too. Like, around your vintage, he's actually a Gawler icon, Wayne Philp.
Wayne Philp.
Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Thank you for having me, guys.
I don't think you're that old, mate.
61.
You're younger than me.
Really?
Yes.
I look younger.
Thank you for that. I mean, I'm supporting you here. Don't forget that.
Now, we'll get back to the esports stuff soon, because it's an interesting thing we want to talk to Wayne about. But before we do that, we should hear a bit more about Wayne and his background, his sporting history that's got him to his 61 years, because it hasn't always been the stuff we're about to discuss with cycling. But maybe, Wayne, you can sort of fill us in on your early days and the sport you're involved in and what you've been doing over that period of time.
I was the typical 60s, 70s teenager, played everything, good at everything, but not very, you know, expert at one specific one. Yeah. So I played, you know, I played cricket and dropped out of that. Then I did sailboarding and dropped out of that. Meanwhile, I was playing football. Played amateur league, played a number of games A1 back in the 70s.
Who'd you play 80s. For, mate?
Played for Adelaide College, which disbanded in 1985, unfortunately, and that was one of those times when money became the dominating factor with whether people played in clubs or whatnot. So, yeah, played there, played in a few premierships. And then from there, went to New Zealand and took up climbing and outdoor because I couldn't play football, came back. Australia, played football, got injured, took up umpiring, didn't really enjoy that. And then I just spent probably 20 years going from one sport to another, trying to find something that I really enjoyed. And along the way, cast aside things like rock climbing to golf.
Yeah, volleyball.
Yes, yeah. Played volleyball there, enjoyed volleyball. Yeah, can't jump like that anymore.
Did you play any volleyball premiership teams?
I think we got to quite a few grand finals. I don't think we won those.
We did play netball together and volleyball. We at Starplex over there in different places, so yes.
Yeah, the men's netball was interesting because that's a non-contact sport, but that was worse than football.
I think, the way the women play netball, that's their football.
Yeah, I think that's a fair enough.
No, I'd agree. Playing netball was the most aggressive sport I've played in my lifetime. Mm.
I probably agree with that.
It's probably come down a bit now because girls can play footy now and they do a damn good job with that too.
Oh, absolutely. And it's good to go out there and see them running around and kicking the ball. And I think they're probably showing up some of the boys actually at the moment about getting out and getting involved, which is really positive. No, I couldn't encourage it anymore.
Now, one of the main things we want to talk to you about is your cycling the Swift system, which we'll get onto shortly. But how did you get into the Gawler Wheelers and, you know, getting on your pushy, mate?
Okay, so I went to the doctor about 3 years ago and just to catch up, have a check-up, and he said, what's the story? You've put on some weight. And I said, no. So I was about 102 kilos, and I felt as if it was time to have a look at what I was doing. So I decided to get into cycling, and I got myself a bike, and over the next 6 months lost 12 to 13 kilograms, and the cycling was coming on really well. I started riding, you know, 20 kilometres a time, eventually got up to 50, 60, 70, and I started to lose the weight. Diet was the key, but I really enjoyed the cycling, really, really enjoyed the cycling. And so I got to the stage where I was riding by myself, and one day out near Eden Valley, a car tried to run me down and back down the main road and try to knock me off for a second time, and I got a bit nervous after that, and a guy I know, Norm Lange, said, come ride with the Wheelers, and I've been riding with them probably nearly 18 months now to 2 years. Really good group of guys.
Now, how many people in the Gawler Wheelers, like, on any given weekend, and not so much at the moment because of the way things have been going, but if I'm sort of driving around Gawler, I'll see a big bunch of men and women in their black and yellow. with Gawler wheelers planted on their backsides as they get around the place. So how many people are involved in the Gawler wheelers these days?
It changes from week to week. So last week we had to cancel, and probably have to cancel this week too because of the weather. But the week before was our first ride back from COVID, and we had, I think it was 48 riders. So we had to split them into three groups because we're allowed to have, you know, so many. So there's lots, and there's women there, and they're all different abilities too. And I think that's really one of the strengths of the Gawler wheelers. Doesn't cost you anything. You come out, if you're really, really good, you go off with the really, really good people. If you're in the middle of the road like myself, you go with the middle of the road. If you're just getting into it or just want a casual ride, there are people who, you know, ride together. But they take care of each other, and it's not competitive, which is good.
So what's your typical week like? I mean, I know we've been talking to lots of people over this period of time with COVID-19, and that's changed things. But what's your typical week like now? I mean, you said you've been in it for sort of 3 years now. What's your typical week in terms of Ks and hours you spend on the bike?
So the game changer was, I think it's coming up to about 10 months ago, I decided that I couldn't get out in the winter enough on my bike. And if I did, it was uncomfortable, you know, wet weather, rain, etc. So what I did then is I got talked into looking at a online environment, an e-sport called, and I'm using an app called Zwift. And basically, I've got this thing called a smart trainer, and I put my bike on it, and it replicates climbing up hills, drafting, etc. I've got the app going. I'm riding with people from all over the world. It's a game changer. So now I started doing things such as some one-off training sessions or a group of training sessions built into the Zwift. And so my normal week would look like I'd do a training session as part of a program, which would take an hour, so the kilometres are not important at all. Then I would have two other rides on the bike indoors, and so I'd be getting up somewhere between 70 to 80 k's, and then I'd get two rides up outside. So I'd do a short ride of 50 to 60 and then try and get a ride of around about at least 100 k's and climbing 1,000 metres. So I sort of got to 200 to 220 k's a week. But that's just not, those k's can look very different. You know, that sometimes the 1k is really difficult because of the type of training.
Now, you showed us a short little video there, and you know, you can do rides in London, you can do rides in Central Park in New York and Innsbruck in Austria. But what really interests me is the one you're talking about, Watopia.
It's a their made up universe, and it's really cool. So they got deserts, you ride with deserts, there's people everywhere, and they put a, you know, one moment you're riding in some western town, you know, where there's an old train going past. The next minute, you're riding through some really cool forests, other people around you, hills, whatnot. There's dinosaurs. Dinosaurs. Absolutely dinosaurs.
You do they chase you? Do the dinosaurs chase you?
T-Rex does chase you. It comes from the side of the wall. And then Watopia's reaching because you ride in tubes which go from one island to another, and a manta ray will swim past you, or dolphins swim quickly. So it's... The important thing is it engages you. Trainers are damn right boring if you're not looking at anything.
Think back to the early days when people would have had their bike at home and set it up on a training wheel and off they would go, they would just cycle. But now, as you're saying, like the graphics and the process and, in fact, the fuel, I've been watching a lot of the eSport racing, the V8s. Now, that's on a platform called iRacing, which looks similar to what you showed us, but they can program that to be real world. And so the physics and the drafting and the airflow, et cetera, is just like being in a real car. It has wear on tyres, fuel, all that sort of stuff. And is that the same in this program?
Absolutely. You come up to a hill and you're going to have to change gears. The resistance increases. There's a sense of when you get into a group, you're drafting, which is fantastic. What has actually taught me is actually to be a better rider, surprising enough. You know, get out on the road and you can practice with groups and whatnot. But when you're on there, you actually get a sense of how to ride properly. And you can have conversations with people. People talk to you, and et cetera. So there's a lot to be said for it, yeah.
Now, you mentioned to me previously about this hill that you used to ride up, and after working on this this app and doing the e-sport with the push bike, that you went up the hill and thought, oh, just didn't seem as hard anymore.
No. I, at the moment, I've just got a little bit of swelling on my knee, which has sort of slowed me down a little bit. And I come to the hill, which goes to Mount Gawler from One Tree Hill. So the big hill that goes up to Mount Gawler across where that pinery is. Is that it, the pinery? You know that. Now, it goes from One Tree Hill to Kersbrook anyway.
Okay, yeah.
That's Mount Gawler there.
Yes.
So I got to there and I went, okay, I'm going to take it easy. I'm not going to flog myself up this hill. It's about 7 kilometres long. So it's a long climb. For me, it's a long climb. And I got to the top. Yeah, no problems. Okay, took it easy. And I got down to the other side and stopped and got home. Looked at my stats and it was my best time. And I went, what? How can I be my best time by that much? And it's because of Zwift. It's just the aerobic capacity that I've able to be changed. I'm fitter in my legs and my aerobic capacity than I've been for 40 years.
You know, back in the 80s and 90s when I used to do triathlons and that, the one thing that used to help me a lot is I used to go do circuit training in the gym, and I suppose this is the modern-day circuit training.
The Zwift is a bit more than circuit. For me, it's a lot more. I can do a lot more interval training. I can actually really push and get my heart rate up. I've got a heart rate monitor. I can monitor that. I think it's that whole sense of being in that space. And you sweat a lot. I've got two fans going on me. The sweat just pours off.
And in the current atmosphere with COVID-19, I imagine there were many people all around the world who were isolated and loved their cycling. So did you, that sense of community, it must be a big community.
It is a big community. When I would do rides, so I'll go home tonight, do a ride, and I'll go to one of these worlds, and there'll probably be normally 1,000 to 1,200 people at any one time I go on riding. COVID hit, there were 6,000. It just five times, I went, what? A lot of people looking for.
So when you're on the app and you've got the image, and we see some of that you showed us before, it's pretty amazing graphics. Are you surrounded by other riders? As you're riding on that track, you're passing people, people are passing you, people are on both sides of you all around you?
And you've got on your right, you can see these riders coming up behind you and they're going, really fast, and then you pass people. And there are runners out there too. There's runners out in these worlds.
Runners pass you?
Actually, when you put your information in, you have to do this threshold performance test, this FTP, and that gives you a number, and then that actually controls sort of how fast you go up hills. But apparently some people put in their wrong rate, a weight, should I say, which means that their FTP is a lot more than it should be. So I got passed by a runner going up this hill not long ago, and I was looking at it, and they were doing about 4 minutes per kilometre going up at like an 8% gradient, and I went, no one does that. No one does that.
Well, it's funny you say that. I haven't done much cycling, but my wife and I were doing a little bit a few years back, and we were going on the bike track up to the Barossa, and we did our first, it was like a 40K cycle up where we went, and I was pretty impressed with myself, and I looked, and I worked out I was averaging about 20 to 21 kilometres an hour, and then when I thought about it, I thought, hang on a minute, the guys who run the best marathons in the world are running that pace. So I thought I was pretty good on my bike, but then I thought, here's elite class runners would be running as quick as I am on the bike.
It's scary. And one of our old scholars, Miles Scottson.
And his brother, Callum.
Yeah, but Miles rode the tour down under here, and he led up Norton Summit Road on that climb. And that climb there, I don't know what I average up there. I probably average something like
10 k's an hour?
13, 14, 15 k's an hour. He went up there at 32 k's an hour.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I'm just going, wait a minute. You don't want to come down there to all 32. The corners are so bad. But they're absolutely freaks, these cyclists. And I really admire them.
We're getting close to the end of the time, but I must ask you, is there... can you replicate sort of a leg of the Tour de France or anything like that?
Well, they don't provide that opportunity. However, they do provide opportunities for some of the World Championship. There may be some issues around licensing, I know, but some of the World Championship circuits, they replicate those. So we've had the last 2 years, I think, replicated on there, so you can go do those. I think the one last year, what was it, in England? That was a monster of a track that they did so many times. You know, they do a loop 12 times or something. It's like, how can they do that?
So just if people were interested in this app, which is Zwift, Z-W-I-F-T?
Yep.
$20 a month?
$20 a month. You have to have a smart trainer or to get the benefits out of it. You can get by with an ordinary trainer. But if you're thinking about it, like people will go out and spend $5,000, $7,000 on a bike. Go buy a smart trainer. You might get the starting price around $1,300. Buy a cheap bike for $1,000. Put it in your room for $2,500, $3,000. You can have it set up in a room, and off you go. It's a lot cheaper than being on the road, and you don't need a helmet.
And you're safe.
And you're safe.
Thank you very much for that, Wayne. So ends another Cut Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.